Thank you, Terry. Praise the Lord, dear brothers and sisters, in all the local churches. This particular conference is a little special in that it is not one person, you know, taking the whole conference, as is quite common among us. And so, actually, I myself was in another such conference related to the Mid-Atlantic churches there. And this would be the first meeting I'm joining, and it just happens to be the last meeting of the conference on the West Coast here. As I was before the Lord quite much concerning this one message time, I must say that I was not entirely clear about what that burden should be until just now. No, I do not. I'm not here trying to be dramatic about this. This is, in fact, the situation. As I was praying and laboring before the Lord, because the beginning on Friday night with Brother Gary Kaiser, getting into the one of the messages. From the summer training on the crystallization study of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. I told the brothers, actually, the brothers in Northern California, that I have had this kind of a burden in me since the summer training on Ruth. On the story of Ruth, and of course particularly related to the three very bright and wonderful figures in type, and that would be Naomi, and that would be Ruth, and that would be Boaz, and how by God's sovereignty. And with these people, these Old Testament saints, remaining in the so-called, we call the principle or the line of life, while they were living actually in the days of the judges, they were in those horrible days of the judges, and yet it was in those times that their story became a something outstanding, something as a kind of a bright light in an environment of just darkness. Of the defeat and the failure, the apostasy, and the degradation of God's people. Notwithstanding, there were these judges that whom God has raised up, including ones like Gideon, the lady judge Deborah, and then you have also Samson at the very end, to fight for Israel, to bring in some victory among God's people, and to lead the people of God. Notwithstanding that, the general situation of God's people is a dark one, was a sorrowful one. Yet it was in exactly at that time you have this little story, a very short story. Maybe it is not known, even so much known. That is something so bright and so consequential, so very consequential as far as God's economy is concerned. Not only at that time, the time when they lived, but hundreds of years later, leading to actually the coming of Christ, the incarnation of God, and So it is something so bright and so attractive and so marvelous, and it is just a good thing that we finish these three books of the history with that bright and lovely aromatic story. And so I was going to say a word about that. And I do not just, the burden didn't just come to me like that. I must tell you there is another reason, a particular reason. And that is, as I was getting back into how dear Brother Lee speaking in those days. Now remember, this is 1993 summertime, right, is when we have the life study, not crystallization, the life study of these three books. And I consider that, I begin to look at that year, 1993, and I must tell you that is a pivotal year for a number of reasons. A lot of us know that in 1994, which is the next year, Brother Lee began the last phase, if you will, of his ministry, all the way until the time of his passing in 1997. Those 3.5 year time was the time when Brother Lee's ministry reaches to the highest peak. You can say that is the consummate section or stage of Brother Lee's ministry. And if I can even be bold to expand that, to say that that would even be a consummation of the Lord's ministry in his recovery, beginning with Brother Watchman Nee back in the 1920s. So from 1920s to the mid-1990s, you have a total of, 75 years or so. And we all know, actually, Brother Nee and Brother Lee, they are, although two, gifts and vessels given by God to his church, to his recovery. And they each have their prevailing personal ministries that these two are actually one. Much like Moses and Joshua, one who led God's people out of Egypt and the other brought God's people into the promised land. And so from this angle, what we see here is what? Is a full ministry of the Lord's recovery. And so I would say that in this light, the high peak stage, the last few years of Brother Lee's ministry, actually represent a consummation of this corporate ministry of these two brothers. That without that, there would not be a conclusion. There would not be a consummation of these two, of this ministry of the age brought to us by these two servants of the Lord. So that is the great, and that started in 1994 to 1997. And so this puts 1993 at the eve of that last section, or you may say the end of the section prior, or the stage prior. Now, I don't have the time to get into the history and my personal analysis of our own history in that light, but I would just like to tell you that is a pivotal time. And that year, I would like to also to tell you, was the year where actually you have to go back to even the first part of the second part of the year prior, that is 1992. And that period of time, especially, you have this summer light training of these three books right in the middle, But those were the months when Brother Lee conducted a very special training, and that would be the vital group training, all right? The vital group training in those months. And you can see how this is intrinsically in his burden and even in his speaking. For example, to prove that, not only you have, you know, the vital group training of three today are in three books amongst us. You should get them. Number one, it is called the Urgent Fellowship concerning the vital groups or something like that. And that would represent message, training messages given by him from the fall of 1992 to the spring of 1993. Then that would be the first book. The second book is called The Training and the Practice of the Vital Groups. That would cover the messages given by Brother Lee in the a continual training of the vital groups in the fall. That would be from August to December of 1993. All right, that would be the second book. Now, it is important to note that after that, it's as if Brother Lee suspended that training of the vital groups for a couple of years. For a couple of years, 2.5 years. And he resumed that training in the fall of 1996. Fall of 1996. And that training today would be in the book, the simply called The Vital Groups. All right? Those are the three books. And so while the Lord is using him to bring the truth, the revelation, the vision concerning God's economy, right, to the highest level, to the peak in those years, there is a particular burden that is in our brother. And that burden comes out in his speaking here and there over and over again. And that actually is where I pick up the burden. And this is where I have the burden for this morning. You say, what is that burden? I will tell you very simply. That is the burden for the vitalization of the Lord's recovery. The vitalization of the local churches, the vitalization of the believers, the saints. This was his strong burden, and hence even the term, the vital groups. He never used that term before. In Taiwan, he also promoted the practice of the groups. It was called the small groups or the home groups, something like this. Designating its size, designating its meeting in the homes and so on. But after he came back to this country, a few years later, in 1992, he began to speak about the vital groups. Now, lest you think this is just a play of words and this is just some, you know, saying the same thing, not quite. There is a real particular burden when he came to this point on the practice so-called God-ordained way, and that is the vital groups. Now, this morning, I'm not here to talk about the vital groups. I'm here to talk about that intrinsic need, the intrinsic burden that was strong in our brother, and that is the vitality, the loss of vitality in the recovery. And I would like to speak to that this morning as much as I can in this short period of time. I want to follow our brother. I want to restate his burden because today, after 25 years after his passing, my personal feeling is the need still continues. That need is still amongst us, a great need, an urgent need, to use his word. For what? For vitalization, for vitality in the Lord's recovery. He even said that, I'll get to that in a minute. Let me come back to these three history books. So now the summer training is right there in the summertime. And I also want to let you know that before that, there was a Memorial Day conference in 1993, right? And that was held in the Hilton Hotel there with 47 or so speakers joining our brother to give a kind of a blending conference, to have a blending conference. Brother Lee prepared the outlines. Brother Lee, you know, there were six or seven main points concerning the Lord's recovery and what the Lord's recovery is. And he spoke actually in four of those meetings along with some brothers, and the rest of the meetings, it was those 40-some brothers coordinating, all from Southern California, coordinating together to speak as one man. Now, in that particular conference, Memorial Day conference, to prove my point that how Brother Lee's deep burden was concerning the vitalization of the saints, I am looking at here in 1993. He started that conference. That conference with a very special short outline and burden before the conference got into all the items of the main items, crucial items of the Lord's recovery. And those items would be, let me just name them for you. It's good to know, to recall. The Lord's recovery, the local churches, the body of Christ, oneness versus division, the testimony of Jesus, the life-giving spirit. Those are all the vision on concerning the truth of the Lord's recovery, what the Lord's recovery is. But he added there's a number seven outline, and that is simply called the vital groups. You see how much burden he had concerning the Lord's recovery on this very matter. But I want to draw your attention to the opening word. The opening word before all those six messages. All right? It is what? It is, let me just read it to you. It's a short outline. Number one, we need to be vital for the Lord's recovery. Romans 2, we should condemn the condition of Sardis. In Sardis, excuse me, you know, one of the seven churches in Revelation, the book of Revelation, in chapter 3 of Revelation. A, having a name of being living and yet being dead. B, having nothing completed, but having all things dying. Roman number 3, we should abhor the situation in Laodicea. He brought up in this little outline two specific churches, Sardis and Laodicea. A, being neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. B, to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth. And Roman numeral 4, hence, we should hate deadness and lukewarmness so that we may be vitalized. That was his opening word, his introductory word to that blending conference on all those top and high things concerning the recovery. Do you see? I do have the ground to say that this is an underlying burden of Brother Lee, a timely burden within him for the churches at that time. Now, when he eventually got to the last message, which he gave a sort of a concluding word there on the vital groups, this is message number 7 in that Memorial Day conference, he mentioned two things that the Lord's recovery needs today. The number one thing is that we all need to learn to speak for the Lord. And the burden of that was, at that time, he has a strong feeling and strong concern and burden for the building up of what we call today the prophesying meetings. Okay? The prophesying meetings. That was his burden, number one. And that is not my burden this morning. The second burden is this, endeavoring to be vitalized. Endeavoring to be vitalized. If you have the collected works of Witness Lee, I would just refer you to the year 1993, volume number 2, in the beginning of that volume. You can read it yourself, these messages. And just before this meeting, I looked at this two-page of fellowship from Brother Lee concerning endeavoring to be vitalized. And I'm just deeply impacted again with this burden. And let me just read a few things for you. And I'm today speaking not just with my burden. I feel I'm speaking with Brother Lee's burden. I'm here to follow him. 25 years later, I feel this burden is still fresh and is still timely and it is still urgent. He said the second thing we need is to be vital. We need the proper speaking, the proper prophesying, which is the first burden he had, but we cannot be dead or lukewarm. We have to be vital, which means that we have to be living and active. That's the meaning of being vital, living and active. The second point of my loving word to you, dear ones, is this. Learn to be vital. You should not be passive. That's his word there. That's his word there. He said, then he went on, I'm not going to read, I don't have the time. He thanked the Lord for the blending conference. That we were able at that time to cover 6 crucial points of the major items of the recovery. He felt those items represent the Lord's up-to-date recovery. But he said, I feel regretful, however, that according to the present practical condition, we are not vital. I'm reading him here. Not living or active to the extent that we should be. He said, it is a certainty that we have the light and the truth concerning the Lord's up-to-date recovery, which is very rich and very high. However, we have to humbly admit that we are not vital, not living or active to the extent that we are satisfied. Because we're not vital, we deeply feel that our situation is not satisfactory to the Lord either. So we have to look to the Lord's mercy and grace desperately to get ourselves vitalized and to help others to be vitalized. To be vitalized is our need today. I say a big amen to this, a strong amen to this. This is still the case. Whether we pray or fast, whether we pursue by ourselves or seek with others, we must be vitalized. I believe that we have overcome many items of today's degradation in the churches, but we cannot escape the condemnation, this is his word, the condemnation that we have tolerated and still are tolerating the deadness of Sardis and the lukewarmness of Laodicea. At the beginning of the messages given in this blending conference, I gave an opening word, you see? That's why I'm referring to this opening word, which I just read to you. I gave an opening word concerning this crucial matter, a matter of life or death. I do not know how much you have been touched by that short opening word. If you have not been touched by that begging word, he used the word begging word. He was begging us. regardless of how much you would appreciate the following six messages. And surely we appreciate these things, these six messages. The outcome will mean nothing to you and to the Lord's recovery. Now, these are very strong utterances. It means nothing. We may know these things. We may have these things. But it would mean nothing to the Lord's recovery and to ourselves. Today, the crucial point is that you have to be vitalized. Then he said this, to have the vital groups, he was already in the vital group training, should not be taken as a kind of movement. We know that. We're not trying to stir up a movement here, right? He said this, to be vital, to be vitalized, is an extremely personal matter. Extremely personal matter. That means each one of us must be vitalized on our own, personally. It has to start with one person who is desperate to be vitalized. A very personal matter. He said, if it is only, these are really important words, it is only possible to be vitalized if you yourself are pressed by the Lord to pursue Him desperately and absolutely in this matter. Brothers and sisters, I would like to ask all of us this simple question. Are we pressed by the Lord? Pressed, that means constrained. Pressured, I would even use this word, within by the Lord to pursue Him in a desperate and absolute manner in this thing called vitalization. The attitude means a lot. The heart means a lot. If you say, well, vital group, this and that, you are not desperate. For a desperate person, Brother Lee used this word. He defined the vital group starts with one desperate member, one desperate saint. Desperate. This is key. And so this is not about gathering the saints, telling them what to do. And that sounds like a movement, you know, promoting something. No, no. It starts with us. This morning, I like to address this matter. Personally, brothers and sisters, let us feel the desperation. Let us feel the urgency. Let us feel the deep burden to be vitalized for ourselves and for the Lord's recovery. It has to start there. You know, vital group in the end is not about methods. It's not about techniques. It's not about how to do things in that kind of a way. These trainings are not a manual telling us what to do. This is about our person being vivified, our person being vitalized, about ourselves being living and not dead, ourselves being hot and not lukewarm. Otherwise, nothing will happen. It has to start with ourselves, each one of us personally. Personally. Now, after that, we may contact others. We may find a companion. We may pursue together, but it has to start with us. My burden this morning is right here, brothers and sisters. I like to speak this in a particular way. Each one of us, may the Lord have mercy on us these days to feel this kind of pressing need and burden from the Lord to be desperate and absolute, to pursue, to be vitalized. Then something will happen. The Lord will do something. And this is his speaking. Now I want to come back to these three history books and our recent crystallization study. I want to join these two things together because at that time, this was an underlying burden, deep burden within our brother, even when he gave that life study on these three books. How so? All right. I will just read to you or refer you to, and by now we should all have some familiarity with this. Recall in the outlines, you know, we all got the outlines for the crystallization study. The brothers put three paragraphs in the front of that outline. Okay? Remember that? And I like to draw your attention to outline number three, somewhat a concluding outline, paragraph. The first two are important, so I'm not saying they are not. But I want to, because of the burden this morning, I want to draw your attention to this third paragraph. It would be good if we have this burden within us, this desperation within us, to take this third paragraph this afternoon, this week, to go and pray with the Lord with desperation and with absoluteness. In fact, Brother Lee had spoken these words almost like in the way of prayer. Let me read this to you, this short paragraph. Let me read this to you. This is the intrinsic burden. You know, these paragraphs brought to us the intrinsic burden of these three books. All right? This is the intrinsic, one of the intrinsic burdens. It's not just about studying about how they got into the good land, you know, this or that. No. We want to touch the intrinsic burden here. Okay, let me read. If by the Lord's mercy we would see such a vision, of course, the vision of God's economy to take possession of God's promised land for Christ and to provide the proper persons to bring forth Christ into the human race. If we see such a vision, this section of the history in the Old Testament will benefit us the same as the New Testament does. Quite a word. It's the Old Testament, but it will benefit us just like the New. Such a vision will help us to see that the history of God's people on the earth is actually the history of the working God energizing among his chosen people in the Old Testament, and even the history of the operating God energizing in his redeemed people and having them to energize together with him for the accomplishment of his eternal economy concerning Christ and his increase, which will consummate in the New Jerusalem. I like to draw your attention to three times. Brother Lee used the word energizing. He called the very God in this history, Old Testament history, these three books, the working God, the operating God. This is a God that is moving, that is doing something, an active God, a working God. This is our God today, isn't it? Am I right, brothers and sisters? He is still working. He is still operating. And in Philippians it says, it is God who operates in us so that we can work out our salvation. He is operating. He is working among us as a people, as churches, to carry out his move. He is still working, operating in his recovery to fulfill his economy in this last age. Brothers, I hope you can see this. I hope we can come to this history, this part of the Old Testament history, to what? With this view, God is energizing, operating to carry out something of his eternal economy. Without God working in them, in Joshua, they wouldn't have the courage and the faith to go in and possess the land, to fight the battle, to defeat all those tribes and nations, to take over that land. Without God's inner operating, there would not be Naomi returning, right? Returning back to the land. You know, her husband, Abimelech, left God's economy, left God's people, left the land of Emmanuel, left the place of rest to go to this Moabite nation. What a fall, what a degradation, what a departure. And now Naomi, under God's working, want to return back to the land. And then Ruth, who had the right, even Naomi pleaded with her to just go home. Just go home. I cannot give you another husband. I cannot bear another son to be your husband. Go back. I will not go back. What kind of Moabite will say that? Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Where you die, I will die. I want to just join your people. This is the operating God. And then later on with Boaz, such a proper, upright person who is constrained, who doesn't live in the lust of his flesh, who take care of God's ordinances to fulfill his obligation as the kinsman of Ruth to eventually marry her and repossess or redeem what was lost, the possession that they lost, that she lost. Brothers and sisters, it is God. This God today is operating and working among us in his recovery, energizing us. Can I use the word vitalizing us? I continue to read. I hope that through this training, this life study training of the three books, we all can see and realize that our living, our daily walk, our schooling, our job, and our business must be a part of God's history in his marvelous and excellent move on the earth today. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to reassess our lives. We need to reassess our living, our schooling, our job and career, our business, what all these things we need to reassess. We need to reevaluate in the context, in the light of God's history in his move on the earth today. Nothing is more important than that. Your job, your career, your family, your marriage, important as they are, cannot compare with God's move. In fact, all those things are for God's move. Am I correct? We made that consecration years ago. We presented our bodies, we presented our being by his beseeching compassions as a living sacrifice. To what? To prove his holy and perfect and well-pleasing purpose. And that purpose is simply God's eternal purpose, which will be what? Will be executed, which will be carried out by his move on this earth. And today, that move is simply God's history. God's history. Are we a part of that history? It depends. Brother Lee continues, to be a normal Christian, to be one of today's overcomers. Overcomers are not super Christians. They are normal Christians. To answer the Lord's present calling and to meet the Lord's present need in his recovery. The Lord has a present need in his recovery right now. It is altogether not sufficient to just be a so-called good brother or good sister. Attending the church meetings regularly, behaving rightly, and living a life that is somewhat perfect in the eyes of men. All these are good. All these are wonderful, but they are not sufficient. Not sufficient to meet the Lord's present need. What is the need? Brother Lee said, we need to be one with God in his history, moving and energizing in his loving overcomers. God today is moving among us. God today is energizing within us, his loving overcomers. Well, brothers, I don't want to be here sounding proud, but I would like to declare I am his loving overcomer. Or what else would I be? What else can I be? And the same with all of you. You know, if, Brother Lee said, if you're a man, you have to be a Christian. And if you are a Christian, you have to be in the church life. And I would add today, if we're in the church life, we have to be an overcomer. It's not optional for me. I don't think it should be for any one of us. That's why we're in the Lord's recovery. That's why the Lord brought us here, to be one of his loving overcomers. In life, in living, and in our entire doing today on the earth. Then the next sentences are all end with not a period, but an exclamation point. We need to write God's today's history, exclamation. We need to march on as one with the energizing God, exclamation. In him, exclamation. With him, exclamation. By him, exclamation. And for him, exclamation. Do you feel the burden? Do you feel the burden? We need to be vital, exclamation. Living, exclamation. And active, exclamation. Oh, the burden. The burden is coming out, pouring out, I would say. We need to be today's Joshua's and Caleb's, to take possession of the God-promised land for Christ, that we may become his possession. Like Caleb, we need another spirit. You know, Christ, Joshua is a type of Christ, to take the lead, to lead us as our captain into the good land, to war the spiritual warfare, to take over that land, to defeat the enemy. We must be today's over his loving overcomers in the type of Caleb. And you remember Caleb's story, a man of faith against all the what? Lies, all the what? Ill speaking of the spies, of those 10 spies, he joined with Joshua to speak by faith the truth. Let us go up at once. Jehovah has given this land to us. Let us eat all the giants there. That's Caleb. And when after, you know, that was when he was 40 years old or something like that. And when after they enter into the good land and they took over a part of the good land, when they start to apportion and allot the land, he just came to Joshua and said, give me the part. I think it's Hebron. Give me this top part of the land. He said, today I'm 80 some years old, but I am stronger than when I was 40. I have not changed. I have not been disobedient to this heavenly vision. I'm still vital. I'm still living. I'm still active. I'm still one with the energizing God. We need to be today's Caleb's, who is a what? A partner of the Christ. This is two times mentioned in Hebrews. We are partners of the Christ in his earthly enterprise. We need to be today's Ruth's, to turn to God's economy, to enter into the land of Emmanuel and to marry ourselves to Christ, that we may bring forth Christ to meet man's need today. Oh, brothers, we should do that. Today's Ruth. Today's Caleb. And as Ruth, we would return to the land of Emmanuel. We have. And to marry ourselves to Christ, our kinsman, Christ. All this is not to be some hero, not to be somebody. All this is to quietly, if you will, bring forth Christ to meet man's need. And the two, Ruth and Boaz, became the ancestors of Jesus. They have become part of that lineage that will end up with David, and then from David it will go all the way to the coming of Christ. And that coming of Christ as the Savior meet all of man's need on the earth. This should be the intrinsic significance of these three books, Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. The issue of this training should be the gaining of the God-promised land for Christ and the bringing forth of the excellent Christ to meet today's need of both God and men. Now, with the remaining time, instead of going to Ruth, as I was initially considering to do, I would like us to go to look at Joshua. Look at Joshua. And I will just use just a few verses, and this would actually be message one, you know, part of message one, on God's charge, God's promise, and God's encouragement to Joshua. This morning, I speak to encourage myself, and I speak with the hope to encourage each one of you. Let us encourage ourselves, not with anything, but with God's own faithful word to Joshua. Let us receive this word as from the Lord to us personally. And it is good also for us after this morning's meeting, this week, this afternoon, to take these promises of God to Joshua to prayer in a desperate and absolute way to be vitalized by him. I'll just read, maybe just with a little comment here and there. You can go back to message one. Listen, first thing I would like to say, all this is based on the word of God. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on some human stirring up. It's firmly based on the word of Jehovah, the word of the Lord. Only that is dependable. I start with verse 5. Well, the important verses are 5 to 9. But as a context, let me say this. After, in verse 1 through 4, just as context, after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, Jehovah spoke to Joshua. We need God's direct speaking to us. The son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel." So this is God's clear, clear charge to Joshua. Take this people, rise up, go into the land. Verse 3, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses." The promise was not first made to Joshua. it was actually made to Moses. Now this promise is about to be fulfilled, not through Moses, but through Joshua. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Brothers, no wonder this is God called the promised land. This all-inclusive Christ is God's promised land to us. Our fate, our destiny, is to gain this Christ, no less, in all his riches, in all his aspects. This is what we're doing today. This is the life of an overcomer, to gain Christ by pursuing him. You know, talk about being desperate and absolute. Look at how Paul possessed Christ in the book of Philippians, in his testimony. Even towards the end of his life, he said, I count not myself to have gained. I forget what is behind. I pursue to what is before. I reach out to the prize of the high calling. Brothers, let us have this attitude. Even this morning, shall we not forget what is the past? Shall we not reach forward? Reach forward. That word pursue actually is in Greek is the word persecute. To persecute this Christ. I mean, this takes a desperate person, an energized person. This is Paul. Let us follow him. And let us follow the example of Joshua to gain this land. Now, we come to these words from Jehovah to Joshua, which I find most encouraging, most assuring, most affirming. I was told that, I think I'm correct, in one of Brother Lee's Bible, he has some notes right next to here in these words, and Brother Lee took those words for himself. That promise to Joshua, he took it for himself and his ministry. I'm going to read. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Brother Lee, amen. Brother Lee, say yes. Brother Lee, believe in that promise. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Brothers, we need to reflect on these words. We need to think about these words. We need to muse on these words, not just as something external, something objective. Apply it to yourself. I'm talking now about how to be vitalized. Apply it to ourselves right away. Lord, you said, you will be with me. You will not fail me nor forsake me. Lord, amen. I believe this. By the way, the main thing with Caleb, with Joshua, is what? Is their faith. The main thing that plagued and characterized Israel and the whole generation, 20 and up, when they left Egypt, were strewn in the wilderness and die and could not enter the good land. They would call out to enter into the good land, but all of them died in the wilderness because of one thing, unbelief. Unbelief. Brothers, I feel these days, we need to declare war against any kind of unbelief. We should reject unbelief. We believe in the Lord, and we believe in his word, and that is his promise. 6, verse 6. Oh, I love this. Be strong and take courage. My goodness. If God is telling you to be strong and take courage, would you not be strong and take courage? And God is saying this. I believe God is speaking to us from within. Man, woman, be strong. Don't say we cannot do it. Don't say this is hard. Don't say I am weak. You may be weak. But Paul says, when I'm weak, I am strong because of the resurrection life. Be strong and take courage. Jehovah has to what? Has to encourage Joshua. Joshua needs encouragement, as we all do. And there's no higher and stronger encouragement than that which comes from God himself. God is saying, be strong, brothers. Be strong, sisters. You be strong. You take courage. For you will cause this people to inherit the land, which I swore to their fathers to give to them. You know, these days, brothers and sisters, many times I was rebuked by the Lord, reminded by the Lord, and rebuked by him for losing faith, for falling into unbelief, for doubting, and for questioning. And whenever I fall in that condition, the Lord would say this, man, did you forget? Did you so quickly forget? I said, be strong. I said, take courage. I said, I will be with you. I said, I will not fail you or forsake you. I said, go in and take the land. I said it already. I cannot say more to you. Why do you fall back? Why do you fall into unbelief again? I just have to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. The faith is already in us. But brothers, we need to what? Exercise this faith in response to his word. You know, faith has an object, something we believe in. There are two things we believe in. Number one, we believe in God. Number two, we believe in his holy word, his promises. We have to stand the ground. We have to declare this. Lord, I believe you. And I believe your word. You are the Lord of the recovery. And you have spoken to us again and again. Lord, I believe. Even his God says, Jehovah said what? You will cause the people to inherit the land. Not only you will, but you will cause others to do likewise. I swore to their fathers to give to them. Now, how about God's swearing? God didn't just promise. God swore. God made an oath. I'm going to do it. And who are we to question that? Brothers, we need our faith restored and mightily strengthened. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Repetition. You know, whatever you repeat, that's what's important. Two sentences later, one sentence later, God repeats himself. Just be strong. Just be very courageous. This time he added the word very courageous. Don't just be a bit courageous. Be very courageous. Being certain to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn away from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. Dear saints, we need to be in God's word. Not turn left, not turn right. I feel one thing that we may be shortening these days is the word of God. How much do we read the word of God? How much we immerse ourselves in those faithful promises? How much are we really in the ministry? The interpreted word. These words, we will not turn away to the right or the left. Then you will have success. You will have success. It's not our personal success. Our success is God's success. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night. You know, there's a whole section in this outline one on musing on God's word. We need more time to do that if we mean business, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. This is God's word. Success. Prosperous. This is God's word. In other words, what we do will be successful. What we do, it will be prospered. And what are we doing? We're not doing anything to serve our own interests. We're not doing anything to please ourselves. We're here to write God's history. We're here to be one with this energizing God. We're here to move forward in Him, with Him, by Him, and for Him. In this, we will make a success. The Lord's recovery will make a success. 9. Have I not commanded you? Third time. Now, there are a few cases in the Bible it takes 3 times, right? Right? The Lord asked Peter by the Sea of Tiberias, do you love me? 3 times. Meaning, did you get it? 3 times, right? Paul prayed 3 times, and each time the Lord answered something, right? 3 times. Be strong and take courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed. I like this simple little word. Don't be afraid or dismayed. That means there will be cause for fear. The enemy, the pushback, the environment, adverse environment in our lives, things that happen around us, all things can serve to what? Scare us and cause us to be dismayed. All things. I tell you, one of the things to overcome, brotherly made it very clear, is not just overcoming Satan, the world, sin, and those kind of things. You know what? It is to overcome our environment, which is hard, which is demanding, which is sometimes tragic. This happened. Things happen to our health. Things happen to our finances. Things happen here. Things that will put us in despair. The things that will cause us to be hopeless. Things that will cause us to lose heart. Don't be afraid or dismay, for Jehovah your God is with you wherever you go. Now, there's nothing greater than this, and that is His own presence, His energizing presence with us wherever we go. I remember I gave a message on the presence, right, of the Lord in this recent training. Nothing is more important than that. We have the Lord's presence. Moses said, if you don't give us your presence, I'm not going up. That's a very bold, you know, counter from Moses. But God didn't even blink an eye. He guaranteed Moses with His presence, and he followed through. Same thing here with Joshua. Now, I finished the reading of this part. I just want to conclude now, dear brothers and sisters. I hope that you would at least receive this morning a burden. And I trust this is not from me. I'm trying to push something. I definitely know this is from our brother, from the servant of the Lord. And I also am quite assured that this is a burden from God Himself. 25 years later, today, next year, I would say today, this is still the need in his recovery, as Brother Lee said. I pray. The Lord's recovery going forward, having overcome many elements of religion and Christianity, would not succumb to those two things. Number one, the deadness and the incompletion and the condition of having a name of living but actually dead, i.e. the condition of Sardis, that we will not succumb to that condition of Sardis, but rather overcome it, that we will be living. He says he came to the church in Sardis as what? As the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars. As the one who is living and living forevermore. The seven spirits, brothers and sisters, do you know that is the intensified spirit to meet the church's need in the time of degradation, beginning in the early church at the time of Paul until now. We're in the stage of the seven spirits to make us intensely living, vital for God's purpose. Number two, that we would not fall into the curse of the condition of a Laodicea. Laodicea is not just a failed church or a defeated church. It is a degraded, recovered church. A church that was Philadelphian, a church that was recovered, but degraded. Degraded, like the brethren, degraded. They start out as Philadelphia. Brother Nee considered them Philadelphia, the British brethren. But soon it succumbed, it died, it became degraded. To become what? To become Laodicean. And what's the point about Laodicean? It's mainly it is what? It is lukewarmness. The Lord say, I wish you were hot or cold for that matter, but don't be lukewarm, because I will spew you out of my mouth. Be absolute. One way or the other, be absolute. Don't be lukewarm. And this lukewarmness would bring in a certain kind of condition. What condition? Blindness, nakedness, poverty, a kind of wretchedness. That's the condition of a lukewarm, defeated church. So the Lord said, what to this? What did the Lord say to them? Buy from me the gold, refined by fire. Buy from me the eye salve, and buy from me the garments for you to be clothed. I'm not going to interpret that, but I want to stress this word buy. That means pay the price. You know, overcoming, brothers, is not spontaneous. Overcoming requires a price. To overcome all the things around us, including Christianity, including even our own condition, or even the church's condition, possibly, in the recovery. We need what? To pay the price, to be desperate, to be absolute, to mean business, we must pay the price. If we do this, brothers, personally, I really believe the Lord will do something, as he promised to do. May we rise up in living faith to follow the Lord in these days. May we all personally be vitalized, living and active by being desperate and absolute. May we follow the energizing God, the working and the operating God. He is already there. He has spoken. He has promised. And he has charged. So did the servant of the Lord. May we rise up and cooperate and coordinate with him. I stop here this morning. Amen.